There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, hour number two on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next hour, and pretty darn productive talk as well, as my buddy Danny Lipford joining us in studio. Of course, you can catch him tomorrow morning right here at FM Talk 106.5 in the afternoons, all Sunday. And, of course, that TV show thing he does, Radio with Pictures on Sunday or Saturdays on WKRG. Danny, howdy.
Hey, man. Glad to be again. Here, Sean.
Yeah, there's no moss on you. I mean, you're rolling, whether it's, I mean, at a media platforms out there, and it's great to talk about this with you because you're a hometown guy, hometown product. We all think of you locally, right?
Yeah.
But your footprint is big. Y'all are all over the place.
Well, it's amazing, but, you know, it goes back to the content that people are always interested in, current, relative, realistic home improvement information. It really crosses all barriers, and it just keeps fueling the type of things that we're doing. It's growing and growing.
Yeah, realistic, and those things are, you know, you've talked with me before, kind of sometimes weekend or two-weekend projects.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. So many of the things that our shows represent can be done in a long weekend, and maybe it goes over to two weekends, but either way, you're making progress, you're adding significant money and value to your home, and, you know, really more than anything, that gratification that you get along with it. Not only are you the gratification for saving a little money, but you go, hey, look at that kitchen, and look, here's what it looked like before. Look at it now. That's a pretty awesome feeling.
It is, and the fact is that the way people schedule, I think maybe it is cliche to say we're busier than ever, but I kind of think we are. People don't have much more than a long weekend or two weekends to try to do something on their own before they're going to call a contractor.
And also, if you enter into a project of any kind and it's just so big and you don't feel like you're making progress on it, that's very discouraging. But if you see that you are making progress, and, you know, you can't wait until the time that you have after you get off work or during the weekend to move it down the road a little bit more, whether it's an indoor project, outdoor project, again, the gratification is awesome.
All right, so let's do this too. I told people last hour, they could go ahead and get their questions ready.
Yeah, sure.
Because you're going to hang out with us this
Absolutely.
Hour.
Absolutely. Be glad to.
So you'll have a pretty nice opportunity here.
Yeah, that's great.
To have Danny in the studio picking up the phone and answering your questions when it comes to maybe that one weekend or two weekend project around your house. And then I'm going to ask you some general things and talk about today's homeowner and the new season coming up. And what is the shooting schedule? What is the season for filming? Like, when do you do that?
Well, you know, so many times on national shows will cram everything in a 3 or 4 month period.
Okay.
You know, they pick up freelancers and they go at it nonstop. Well, we do it a little bit different in that we basically tape about 11 months out of the year.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so we only have about 1 month to kind of catch our breath, and that month is gone because we're back taping right now.
Okay.
We're about the third show into our 22 show season, and we'll be traveling quite a bit, have Chicago coming up. We have a place in Kansas we're doing and a couple other things that we're doing here and there. But the good thing, just like last year, of the 22 shows that we did 16 of them here in the Mobile area, and we love that. We, you know, we don't necessarily want to jump on an airplane. And but I'll tell you what, America loves the Southern culture. They love to see Mobile. They love to see us interact on television, and it's a win-win for us. It really is. People are so intrigued by our area of the country. Everywhere I go, people are constantly talking about the beaches and talking about the battleship and the sports aspect of it. So it's pretty good. I do feel like an ambassador from time to time talking about our great city.
Well, you're a great ambassador for us. I was just wondering, okay, so 16 out of 22 were filmed here, so you can find what you needed for those episodes. Y'all sit down, I mean, I just wonder, like, behind the scenes kind of stuff, do you sit down and go, this season, we're going to do four episodes on kitchens. We're going to do two episodes on bathrooms. We're going to do a patio episode. I mean, is it like that?
We always have. Our offsite production meeting is a full day brainstorming just exactly what you're talking about there. But it's changed over the years because it used to be we would identify. We need to do a couple kitchens, needed a couple outdoor space. We're looking for this. We're looking for that. But you know what we're looking for more than anything right now? Passionate homeowners.
Right.
That they are a passionate homeowner and someone that really enjoys being a homeowner, they have projects. So we want to hear from them through our locations page for them to say, hey, you know what? I've been wanting to do something to that den. It's dark. It's dingy. What can we do? Perfect. If they're ready to be on television, they're ready to get their hands dirty a little bit, we can make a show out of any kind of project that they may have. So we have a few targets that we're looking for, some kitchens and some baths and a few things. We're looking right now for some a first-time homeowner, someone that's out there that they just got their first home. They're anxious. They have a few things they need to do there. We want to come in and help them with that project and have them participate with us on television. So there's a lot of different projects we have out there that we're ready to go right now on.
Well, what I like about it is, and you said it in two different ways, you said we're ready to help them and have them participate. In other words, y'all, you're going to get expert advice, you're going to get people that can do this and know how this fits and how that works, but you engage the homeowner. The homeowner doesn't sit back and sip on a sweet tea here.
Not at all. They need to be involved in it. And of course, we look for that. We look for that eagerness to say, I want to learn. I want to be involved in this. And, you know, we even give them a little work. Sometimes they have to do at home. You know, I mean, at night, you know, where a lot of the painting, a lot of the things that they can do and that type of thing. And we also deal with a lot of people that are very savvy and very good at what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they can show us a few things. So it's that great, you know, diversity in being able to get together and do that kind of project.
As a consumer of the show, when I watch it, I like that because if it was just, I mean, nothing against you, Danny, mm-hmm. but if just you or Joe or whatever, y'all are doing that, so, okay, well, y'all are good at this. Y'all mm-hmm. are experts. And then I just go, well, I'm just kind of watching these guys work.
Sure,
versus
sure.
when I see the homeowners, I go, okay, there is a chance
right.
that I could pull this off.
Well, also what happens and what's so good about that type of exchange is whatever question that homeowner may ask us is a question that you as a viewer may be asking yourself. I wonder why they're not taking that door unit out first. Why are they doing it that way?
Mm-hmm.
The homeowner's asking that. We're explaining it. And those questions, that exchange of information is what really makes it work very, very well. Bite-sized pieces, keeping it real. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of shows out there that are far from realistic mm-hmm. in the home improvement field.
Right. There's a dreamer show, and then there's let's get something done show.
Right. A little bit of escapism there. And those shows kind of tend to come and go.
Yes.
And I guess...
How many years y'all been doing this?
This is our 21st season on national television. So
just
very thankful.
Thing.
Very
this
thankful.
Thing. And by the way, too, all the different platforms. Of course, today's Homeowner Radio. Catch Saturdays and Sundays here at FM Talk 106.5. And the mm-hmm. website, because you're talking about little bite-sized pieces, I get a little tell on myself is when I'm working on projects and I get to something I don't know, I go to the website and it's mm-hmm. searchable. Y'all have a search engine. I can go in there and search mm-hmm. whatever I've messed up. And I find it. And then I can... pause. You don't know how many times you've been paused in mid, like, you'll do something and then I'll pause it and go do the thing and then come back and unpause it and then pause it and do the
perfect.
Thing.
Perfect.
So
we're proud of you.
Well, I mean, if people want to do that, it is kind of nice because y'all go through and obviously you have to make it in the constraints of a television show, so it's moving fairly quickly. I can stop it.
Right.
And I can see, okay, now I'm a good monkey. I'll do what Danny just did and then pause it, start again and then pause it. So it's the website where the same place you're saying to go for the locations
right.
page.
Yeah, it's todayshomeowner.com/locations. Go there right now. We have a number of descriptions on certain projects that we're looking at, but also a very encouraging message that if you have an idea, and any type of families, we want to be very diverse with the different people that we have on the show. So encourage everybody to go there, and you'll see what we're looking for. And we want to work with you. We want to stay away from the airports. We want to stay here in Mobile.
Right, they have a motivation.
Show off America there.
Very good. Okay, coming back, your chance to ask Danny your question, 343-0106, and we'll take those questions as well on the text line. Same number, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 118 FM Talk, 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. My buddy Danny Litford in studio. And, of course, you can check out the radio show here at FM Talk, 106.5, the TV show on WKRG. And another how many stations?
Well, we have 207 stations.
That's it?
All over
You're
this great
so
country.
Slack.
And we're going into our brand new season, second week in September. And we just got 100% renewal of every station that was on last year.
Really?
This is the second year in a row, 100% renewal. National average is around 74%. We have 100% renewal. Thank you to all these wonderful stations. It is great.
Y'all, that's great. Like from behind the curtains here. That's pretty incredible.
That is just very, very nice.
Wow. Are you sending them, do they get like a mug or something, coffee mug or mouse pad or something?
And while you're giving me a chance to brag a little bit, we will also, starting the second week in September, be available throughout the sleepy little country of Canada.
You're going north of the 48?
We're going all the way through Canada. We'll be airing the Today's Homeowner Show three times a week. And so that's a big plus for us. We've always had bleed over from like Detroit and Buffalo
sure.
and Seattle and that kind of thing. Get a lot of viewers there in Canada. Now we have all of Canada covered as of the second week in September.
So, wow. Are you going to have to translate that into Canadianese?
I was thinking about some of the Canadian phrases I may have to adapt.
Take
it's
off,
just,
eh?
It's just not going to work.
Take off, eh? All right. It's your chance to ask some questions this hour of Danny Litford, and you got an expert right here, and looks like you're ready to do it. So let's go to Tim in Fairhope first. You're on with Danny.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. I'm actually live in Stapleton, but I'm passing through Fairhope. So, We live in a home that we built back in 94, mm-hmm. and it's, I don't know what you call a home that it wasn't custom built. It was, a home builder. We picked out a design and we built that house. And, it's got a small kitchen mm-hmm. and my wife, wants to redo the cabinets and she wants to try to make the, kitchen bigger because of the cutout, that we went with.
Mm-hmm.
And she's concerned about, taking the cabinets all the way off the wall and painting them or doing something with them that way or adding some design to them because they're made out of birch and they're just they've just been coated with a particular color and we just don't know what to do as far as taking them down to fix the doors only or redo the whole cabinet.
Tim, approximately how old is the house?
Built in 94, so right at 22 years or so,
okay.
somewhere in that range.
Well, there's definitely a lot of options, and of course the popularity of creating that open floor plan between the kitchen and any of the adjacent rooms, which typically would be a breakfast room or dining room or living room, extremely popular way to go. People are always concerned about losing cabinet space when you do that, but you can always make your existing cabinetry a little more efficient by putting in some pull-outs and some tilt-outs and a number of accessories like that. But you can also, in terms of the, and again, I would encourage you to go to my website because we've done this many, many times. Matter of fact, we'll be starting a brand new episode of my show in just a couple weeks where we're doing the exact project that you're talking about, where we're actually removing the cabinet doors and replacing all of the doors and painting the existing cabinet boxes themselves. So very easy way. And you'd be surprised how you can take the actual doors, go to even a place like Home Depot, and they can order the exact size door you need, and you can install them yourself. So that's brand new doors that you can install, brand new hardware you can install, and then the painting that you can do on it while all of those cabinet doors are off. So sounds like a lot of work, but it can be broken down into those stages. It makes it pretty easy for you to do it yourself, or at least part of it yourself. Now, tearing walls out, that type of thing, you really need to be careful with making sure you have a professional do that. But a lot of options there to make it larger, make it more adaptable to a larger gathering, and still make it look a lot more modern.
Okay. Well, we would be interested in doing your show, but my wife's very modest. She would be a little embarrassed maybe to be on TV.
Tim, I hear you. You're enough personality.
Other stuff on the line. I'll check it out.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Tim himself's enough personality for both of them.
Carry the show pretty well, but you can if you go to todayshomeowner.com and just push in kitchen renovation ideas, you will get a lot of ideas from there.
Lots an understatement. And also, too, if people are just joining us, Danny Lipford in the studio, your chance to ask your question on a project around your home, something you want to try this weekend or coming up soon. And also, you're looking for locations for this year.
Absolutely. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people that we work with in Mobile, like I said, last year, 16 different Mobile area families and Eastern Shore families worked with us on our national show. So their relatives all over the country were able to see the project that we help them with at their house, ranging from outdoor type of entertainment areas to kitchens to baths to attic conversions. Now, we're really looking for modest projects, not big giant additions and big giant, you know, second
stuff regular folks like me can try to tackle.
Exactly. Yeah, things that are not only do-it-yourself, but things that are fairly small that we can start and finish in a reasonable amount of time so that we can provide enough details that you can really get a lot of information out of each show.
All right, let's go to Paul in Mobile. Hey, Paul, you're on with Danny.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, just had a quick question. I have a house from built probably in 1945 or so, and our floors are starting to buckle. Well, mm-hmm. They've been buckling for about a year now, and they haven't gone down. We have a crawl space, and it looks like there's a lot of moisture underneath, so we took off the siding where the crawl space is to get some ventilation. Still, it's not going down. I don't know exactly what to do.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we've gotten more calls this year on buckled wood floors than ever before, and it is all about the moisture. Number one thing that you need to do under any house anywhere is to make sure you have a layer of plastic laying right on the ground. You do not want the plastic nailed to the bottom of the house. Just put it right on the ground. Sometimes I would suggest taking a little bit of gravel, like you can buy gravel in a bag and just sprinkle it around the perimeter to keep it from blowing up. That alone will help tremendously. You need to buy a small little digital hygrometer. You can buy one for $10 at Best Buy or places like that. Put it right in the house and see what relative humidity percentage you have. I'll guarantee you, you're above 50%. You should be below 40%. That alone, and if you put a dehumidifier in there, that alone you'll be surprised how that cupping of that floor will be improved considerably just by pulling that moisture out of there. So blocking that off, improving your crawl space ventilation, and making sure that air conditioner is working like it should to pull that humidity out of the house. That so often is the problem with a lot of humidity inside homes as well.
Okay, and is there anything we can do as well to, you know, to the floors, to the actual, like, to cut them or anything? I've heard of that, but I'm not sure exactly how to do that.
I wouldn't try anything at all on them until you know that you have a consistent 40% or below in that room. Make sure you have that for a couple weeks. You'll immediately see a difference in it. Maybe enough that you don't have to worry about it. After that, you can consider in some of the other areas possibly putting some thin diameter screws down through some of the critical areas and putty over them. That can be done pretty successfully.
Okay, excellent.
Good, Paul. Thanks a lot for calling us. And remember the radio show. You can call us anytime on our hotline.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay, hey, Danny, what's that number?
It is 1-800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, it sounds like you've done that before. By the way, too, you can get to, if you can just go straight there, or if you want to take an extra step, you can always link through to all Danny's stuff by going to our website, fmtalk1065.com. You mentioned something about the humidity in the house.
Uh-huh.
And a hygrometer. You throw words around like that. It wasn't until a couple of years ago hanging out with you I learned what that is, but you said 40%.
Yeah.
Is that the beginning of the good? Is that the sweet spot? Is that the upper end of what should be tolerated in the house?
That's the upper end. I mean, really, in our area, you have to fight for that because of the high humidity conditions we have. But between 30 and 40% relative humidity. And it's really kind of interesting. If you get the little digital hygrometer, I actually brought one home the other day, and I put it in different areas of my home, including the downstairs.
You're a party guy.
I know. I really have a lot of fun, don't I? And I put it, you know, in downstairs. Stairs area that I was concerned with humidity. Well, first of all, I set it outside. Boom, 90% right away.
Okay.
Then I brought it inside, and I got it down to about 44% in a lower area where I have a dehumidifier that's running. So then putting it upstairs, I was at 38%. Perfect. All of that was working well. So if you do that and do that little science experiment by moving it around the house, you may realize there's areas in your home that are not being properly heated and cooled. And properly heated and cooled home means the humidity is being managed. And the biggest problem is too big of an air conditioning unit.
Y'all listen to what he's saying. Yeah. The first time you said that, I said, huh?
Right.
Bigger is better. Yeah.
If I know, you think that. But you know, what happens is you have a unit in your home, and maybe you've done a few things that we recommend by upgrading your insulation, you know, winterizing and weatherizing your home a little bit. Well, now your air conditioning system might be too big. Or you had it serviced, or you had it replaced, and you said, give me another half a ton. That short cycling of that and it turning on, going off, turning on, uses more electricity and does not take the humidity out of the home adequately enough. That's when so many problems that we talk about.
You want it to run more.
You really want it to run more. And that's
to work
why,
harder to...
Exactly. The newer systems are lower volume. They're very low in their fan usage, and that means it's less electricity and it'll run more. And they're very quiet, too, all of the newer systems. So that's the way you want it to work in order to really manage that moisture in your home.
All right, Tom, let's go on to James in Mobile next. You're on with Danny Litford.
Hey, Mr. Danny, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Glad to talk with you.
From Mobile here, and I wanted to ask you, and then I want to make a suggestion, but what do you recommend, like for mildew, let's say anything from onto metal to brick on your exterior? You know, down here we get the mildew, the green, I guess it's like a green juice that drips off the trees, believe it or not.
So what are you using to,
Well, first of all, you want to make sure that you have plenty of air and sunshine hitting these exterior areas. So trimming back trees, trimming back brush, any of that's very important. There should be no shrubbery touching your house. You should have a 12-inch clearance at least all the way around. All the way. I'm writing you a list, Sean. All the way around the house, you need that air clearance and the sun going there. That will take care of the problem. You know, and I don't want to throw a plug out there just to throw a plug out there, but... one of my sponsors, Wet and Forget, have this outside material. I use it at my house. I got a lot of brick on my house, shaded areas, and it works so well just by spraying it on and forgetting about it. After 3 to 6 months, all of a sudden, it's nice and clean. Or if you're just one of those that are just impatient, then go ahead and pressure wash and get it nice and clean, then spray it with Wet and Forget, and it'll last up to a year. So that's the main way to battle it.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks for the call. We'll come right back, grab more calls, and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. Danny Litford in the studio.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Kind of fun way to do this. We need to do it more often, Danny. Stop by the studio.
Well, I tell you what, on a Friday like this, it's kind of cool because you can be, you know, kind of inspire some people to think about some of the things they need to do this.
Like me.
This weekend, and actually your wife asked me to come by today.
Yeah,
and
I figured
the list started. She suggested a couple things here. So.
We got, you know, and that was the thing you talked about, the way you do episodes where y'all tackle something you can finish in a long weekend or 2 weeks. Because that's one thing that happens to folks like me, and I think a lot of people. You start a project, and then you get to a point where you don't know how to tackle that next part of it.
Right.
And then that project, instead of being 2 weekends, you go, oh, gosh, I don't have the thing. And it goes on. It sits there unfinished for a month, month and a half.
Sure, sure.
Well, you walk by it, look at it, and say, yeah, I'm going to...
Well, that's where it's a little frustrating. You always have to be, you know, watch your ambition. Don't let it get ahead of you on some of those things.
That's right. and so that's a nice, the bite-sized pieces, as you've called it before.
Right, exactly.
We can go for. All right, let's go to Bob in Fairhope next. You're on with Danny.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, Danny, got a question for you. I've got four air vents in my master bathroom. Of the four, I've got one over the dual vanity and one in my closet that's got probably a 6 to 8 inch ring around it that's either looks like mold or mildew on the sheetrock outside of that vent. And we run the auxiliary fan when we're showering or whatnot, but is that something to do with the AC, or is that, I mean, what is that actually, and what can we do to prevent that? Because it's only on two of the four vents in the ceiling.
Well, it is a condensation that could be worsened by not using the exhaust vent enough. Now, you have to use it while you're taking a shower and leave it on at least 10 to 15 minutes after the shower to really move that hot, moist air out of that bathroom. And I certainly hope it's going all the way to the outside and not just into the attic. It's also a good idea to remove that grill on the inside and clean it really well. You'll be surprised how dirty an exhaust fan can get. The other part of that, very, very common, is for the actual insulation wrap around the ductwork to have a little tear in it. So if you make it up into the attic above that particular vent or those two vents that are starting to condensate and drip a little bit, you may find that it's separated a little bit. What happens when that cold air is passing through and the heat of the attic is getting to that last little bit of ductwork going into that closet or the bathroom, that's when the condensation forms. It can create quite a mess and quite a bit of damage and staining and mildew around that sheetrock area. So I would, again, make sure that vent's working well and it's adequate and strong enough, and then make sure that your insulation wrap is really good around the ductwork in the attic.
Got it. And then what would you recommend as far as can we wipe the sheetrock that's got the staining on it now with a sponge, or what type of chemical or material would you recommend that?
I hate to recommend bleach very much because there's a lot of great alternatives on there. I would recommend an oxygen bleach like OxyClean, and then I would dilute it a little bit, spray bottle, and just spray it a little bit and leave it alone. Spray it a little bit more, and then maybe just a little light sponging will probably lift that stain out, and the OxyClean will have a little residual effect that will help the mildew, kind of combat the mildew, you know, in the days ahead.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I appreciate your help.
Good. That reminds me of something that's a great, great thing to think about, and a lot of people don't realize. I had in one of my places, I have an old exhaust fan that's been there since 1996. They have these kits now. If you will measure that, they have these kits that you can take just the fan out, unplug it, put the fan back in, plug it back in. It takes approximately 3 minutes, and it's so easy. It even says on the package, Sean Sullivan can even do this. But it's 30% quieter and 50% stronger. Brone Newtone or one of the companies that create this. It fits in the same housing.
Okay.
No getting in the attic. Just take the grill down. You're pulling just this center housing down, unplugging it. Sometimes there's two screws in it, and this other slips right in it. It really is amazing. We're installing one next week on a project that we're doing, but it is amazing how much better that works than what you have.
You've done it in episodes. You and I have talked about it on this show, and you know, we've just mentioning it there, Bob, about running that exhaust fan.
Yeah,
And that's something that I guess people don't think of. They say, well, it's in the bathroom section or whatever. But that's really the key to that thing, is about getting humidity out, right?
It and making sure that it goes all the way to the outside.
I don't know where ours goes.
Well, a lot of times without even having to go in the attic, you may be able to kind of line up with the outside of your home and look and see if there's a vent directly above it. One that, not a plumbing vent, but an actual exhaust vent,
right?
And to be able to do that. But on the allowing that fan to keep going, a couple things you can do there. One that we've done a lot is to take your single switch out and replace it with a timer. That way you can set it for 20 minutes, 15 minutes. You take your shower, it keeps going, it cuts off when it needs it. Or some of the newer fans, like I have one in my bathroom that is a humidistat. And so I leave the fan on all the time. I never turn it off.
It decides when it needs to.
And it decides when it drops, when it gets to a certain percentage of humidity, it will turn on. No mold, no mildew, hardly any cleaning needed at all, you know, because the mold and mildew is non-existent because you're keeping it completely dry all the time.
Because we fight that. I mean, our shower, we're fighting it in there all the time. We are cleaning like every 2 days to keep it from. And the other thing you had mentioned earlier that you had was a dehumidifier in the home.
Right.
separate from the air conditioning.
Right, right. This, because I have a downstairs storage area that's basically
a basement. You got the old angle. Dave's got the old angle lot where he gets
right, exactly, absolutely. And so, it has that area under there. And it stays pretty dry. But during these real rainy periods, just out of an abundance of caution, I run a small energy efficient unit. And it'll probably pull out about a half a gallon in about 8 days. So it's not very bad. But I know that I'm hitting it at 40% down there.
That's good. By the way, you and I have to talk about it. I'm working on a design for a solar powered dehumidifier.
But Is that right?
I hit it for putting in cabins and all that.
So. I just installed two solar powered attic exhaust fans.
That seems brilliant.
You're cooling your attic with the sun. How can you do that? They've been around a long time, but I have just put a couple of them on my house. So
really? Okay. Yeah. I like the solar. We go to solar chat for a long time, too. Dean is in Mobile. He wants to talk about, delicious popcorn, Dean. Are you got popcorn for us?
We got popcorn coming apart on our ceiling.
Oh, okay.
All over a rental house, a small rental house.
Uh-huh.
And just wanted to know, is that something that we can attack ourselves, or do we need more of a professional type person to handle that for us?
Well, it's really a tough one for a pro or a do-it-yourselfer when you have some of the popcorn starting to turn loose or the texture like that. There is popcorn in the can that you actually can shake up and spray. It is It's quite a trick to do it in a nice, even pattern. Most people put way too much on. But if you do scrape down what you have and then buy this and follow the directions, especially the 2 minute of constant shaking of the can part of the instructions, and then get a large piece of cardboard out somewhere and just test it. You're going to be pulling it about 24 inches away from the ceiling and then put a light splatter on it. It only takes about 2.5 seconds. And you'll be able to match that texture with just a little bit of practice on a piece of cardboard. Then you have to hope that the coloring blends in, because sometimes it'll be a little whiter or a little grayer. But either way, you can match that by getting the right type of texture.
Now, if I have I have some pretty large sections that are coming loose, mm-hmm. and it's pretty much in every room of the house is the spray can. I mean, am I wasting my time trying to do the spray can?
I would be concerned with that, because if you're having failure in a number of different areas, then mm-hmm. it's only likely that that's going to continue. So I would really look at the technique of scraping all of the texture out and removing the popcorn, which is an extremely popular project, and the look of that, a more modern look of a smooth or nearly smooth ceiling is appealing to a lot of people, both rental and resale on that. Great video or several videos on some really cool tricks on how to do that on our website at todayshomeowner.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Best of luck. Thanks for calling.
Along. All right.
Thank you.
Hey, Danny, I've got to ask you that. Why popcorn ceiling?
Well,
is there a reason why we went to?
Acoustically, when you have, being an acoustic genius mm-hmm. here in the radio business,
right?
That,
something like that
if you have smooth surfaces everywhere, the sound will bounce around quite a bit. Also, in being able to speed along the process of building, it saves one or two steps, potentially one or two days, because you're not having to completely make that ceiling perfectly smooth. You get it fairly smooth. The texture covers up any of the other small defects.
Okay. Now, there's one I didn't... So, really, it's about if you're doing a mudding process or whatever, getting that...
Popcorn ceilings are less expensive. You can move along quicker. You can save a couple days in smoothing it out. Plus, once you spray it, you're done. No painter has to paint it. So, if you're...
Aha. Yeah,
so, it's really started out as a economical way of building and finishing the home, but it also has, because of the popcorn is actually vermiculite, which is a great sound absorber, so that's part of it.
Okay, so I've always wondered why, because older homes don't have that,
right.
And newer homes don't have it, but there is this window of time that it seemed to be the thing to do.
I think more are being scraped off now than are being installed. Actually, we're talking about looking for locations for our show, and one location that we identified a couple days ago happens to be in Smithfield subdivision, right out in West Mobile. Very same thing. They've been wanting to get rid of those popcorn ceilings, scared to tackle it. We're going to do do that along with a minor kitchen facelift that we're doing. It's going to be a great show, great season ahead.
My sister used to live in that neighborhood. Cool. Yeah. I know it well. All right. Once again, people can check out the radio show, of course, Saturdays and Sundays here at FM Talk 106.5. If they like that radio with pictures, television thing.
Yeah, we got a little television thing there on WKRG here in the Mobile area at 6:30 p.m. Saturday afternoons. Also Sunday morning on the CW at 10:30.
All right, very good. And, of course, the website where you can do like me, as you're working on it, just pause it. Danny will do something, then you pause it, then you start it again, and you pause it. And that website.
That's right, todayshomeowner.com.
All right, thanks for coming in.
Hey, man, my pleasure always. Thanks a lot.
Good time. All right, coming back, we will check in with Dr. Bill's forecast. Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino joins us as well as we wrap it up. And Paul Feinbaum at 2.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, back in studio, my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino. Thanks for being back on the show.
Thank you for being here, Sean.
You know, I was talking about this with you before we went on about patriotism. You started talking about the summertime and what it means to you from Memorial Day with the solemn occasion, Memorial Day, on through the patriotic feel that people get around the 4th of July and Independence Day. And, of course, this means a lot to you as an American, and I imagine even more as a Marine.
Absolutely. You know, just as an American and a Marine, these two holidays really solidify everything that I feel about this country and why I do the things I do and the things that I've done. And I start thinking about equality and how important equality is, you know, for all Americans. And I mean, particularly with all the elections and all the political stuff going on, it's exhausting to me. It's frustrating to me. I really have to, I'm sorry, turn off your show sometime too, Sean, because it's just too much. But yeah, I am intrigued by it. But that is so important in my life and in my practice. You know, just everybody I see, rich or poor, black or white, to see them the same, you know, and that my faith goes into that as well, that everybody is the same and equal, no matter their race, their socioeconomic level, whatever. And when they come into my office, I'm going to make sure that they're treated equally with what they have going on. And they're in a tumultuous situation with, you know, some type of injury or tragedy or issue, and they're not getting treated fairly, and they're the victim. And so the whole world's coming down on him or her, and it's up to me to equalize that and to make sure that they're treated fairly. And that gives me passion to do that. And that's what America is. You know, America's fighting for your neighbor, you know, fighting for your friend, or fighting for a stranger, somebody you just met. And when you can do that, when you can lift them up, man, and you see that in their eyes, you see it in their body language, you know, that really gets me going. That's why I get up every day.
Yeah, I imagine when people are in your office, too, sometimes they get an eye-opener where people, I see, accept a certain level of what you said, that they're at a lesser status than somebody else. And it almost becomes second nature to people. And it's good to talk to somebody like you who can say, well, no, in fact, you got this right, this other right over here.
Well, yeah, one thing I have to work on as well is you know, I'm sort of an amateur counselor or therapist or whatever, because right. People will actually, they'll feel guilty for being in that situation. And so one of the first things I try to do is say, listen, you're a victim here.
Right.
You didn't do anything wrong, or you wouldn't be here. Or, I'm sorry, I'd help you however I could, but I couldn't represent you if you were in the wrong. So, you know, let's get rid of that guilt. Let's focus on being treated fairly. You have any problem with that? And they say, no, I don't have any problem with that. And then so I fight for that. That really makes me proud to be American, to do that. And, you know, they don't get treated fairly all the time by the insurance companies.
Right.
The insurance companies, I had one the other day who a person got hurt, and they weren't terribly hurt, but it was a pretty big impact. It's a car wreck, and they got treated by an orthopedic surgeon. They sent them to physical therapy, and the insurance adjuster calls me and says, well, we're not accepting all of the treatment because we don't think all of that was necessary. And I said, well, why don't you call the orthopedic surgeon and the physical therapist, and you can debate right. that with them. Because right, I said, right. That's just ridiculous. And so that's the kind of stuff that I'm dealing with, that people don't understand that goes on.
Well, they don't, because, you know, you see people often after they've had their worst day, right? And you've seen a lot of people in their worst day, and you know how to do this, how to get justice for people. But, you know, I mean, whatever we do for a living, we're not in the business of going, oh, I can contest that from the insurance company. We don't know that.
Right. I mean, it's just like if somebody came to you and said you did some work, and you did good work for what you did, And, you know, that's what the physical therapists and the doctors are doing. I mean, they're trying to heal and help the patient. And then to say, oh, well, 25% of what you did is not legitimate, so we're just not going to accept that. I mean, that's just a slap in the face, and that's that gets me going. And I told the insurance adjuster, well, you know, that's fine. You know, you can do whatever you want to do, and you have a right not to offer any money. But what you're doing is you're the one that's forcing the lawsuit. So I said, I'm going to have to file. If you take this position, I'm going to have to file a lawsuit. I don't want to, and I'm the one that's being looked at as, you know, filing the lawsuits and suing people or whatever, when really it's the insurance company that says stuff like that. That's the impetus of that lawsuit.
But that's why it's great to get the wisdom you have to be an ombudsman for people, because they may think, you just laid out a scenario for me. I could hear this in my ear, and they say, well, we're not going to pay 25% of those costs. I may assume that that's how it's done. I may assume that I don't have rights to 100% of it. Because I haven't been in the situation. I haven't practiced law for 2 decades, you know?
I couldn't imagine what an individual with, you know, no legal training and or no medical training, at least, that has to take on, you know, this type of a situation, what they would do. Because, you know, I can't really argue with whatever computer program they're using to punch everything in to spit out some little data or whatever, but I can just, you know, I've tried so many cases. I've been practicing for almost 21 years now that what I told the adjuster, I said, well, that's not going to fly with the jury. Get in front of 12 mm-hmm. ordinary citizens and you tell them that, oh, this physical therapy, 25% of it, that wasn't necessary, so we shouldn't have to pay that. I said, go ahead and make that argument in front of 12 citizens of Mobile County or any county in Alabama, Mississippi, wherever. And she really couldn't argue with that.
Well, and they have to know, you just said it, I think, they have to know you do what you do, and that's you go to trial. Because that's the threat there, that they don't want to go in front of that jury with it. They have to know, though, when I come find you and have you represent me, that you are, we're going to trial.
A lot of times it's frustrating because I evaluate a case for a fair amount and I try to settle a case for a fair amount. And then what happens is that a lot of times the insurance company, they offer half of that amount, and then I file suit and we go through depositions and all this other stuff and get close to trial. And then I end up settling the case for exactly what I wanted to settle it for before I filed suit. It would make the average person a little mad, and maybe I have gotten a few gray hairs over the years from, it's almost like beating your head up against the door or a tree or something. But you just have to continue to do that and fight that fight, because that's kind of what I have to do every day. But I love it. I love helping people. I love the risk of going in front of a jury, you know, not knowing what's going to happen and not knowing a single person on that jury, because if you know somebody, you know, they're either going to get struck for cause or the other side's going to strike them. So I don't know any of those folks, and I look at them as my equal. They are my equal, and, you know, they're no better or worse than me, and vice versa. Just seeing what's going to happen and try to just be myself and present my case and be honest, and thank the Lord things have kind of worked out, I think.
Absolutely. It's about equality. People want to find out what their rights are. Absolutely. Get that equality. How do they get in touch with you, Ed?
You can just Google Taylor Martino or Ed Rowan, Richard Taylor, Steve Martino, my partners, or you can call us at 251-433-3131.
Ed Rowan with Taylor Martino, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.